Interview with the Podcast Vampire is a retrospective on the filmography of living legend Tom Cruise, hosted by Dale underscore A, Jonesy Loves Beer, and Slim.
The first of many to come, Mission Impossible.
Big life spoiler. The first movie soundtrack I ever bought was this film, followed by Batman Forever soundtrack.
Oh,
wow.
With Seal's Kiss by a Rose, U2's Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me. But I must have listened to track two on this soundtrack, which is just the theme, the main theme, over and over again.
That's a Jonesy writer. This is a retrospective podcast. We get the hits. We get the inside dish from an actual writer. Jonesy Loves Beer, welcome back. Mm-hmm. But is Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me the best soundtrack rock song of all time?
Lightning agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. There's no competition.
No, yeah. Nobody holds a candle to Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me. The video, an animated tribute to Batman, starring Bono as Mephisto. Are you kidding me?
Host on the Interview with the Podcast Vampire. We're just getting warmed up.
Baby, must be hard with your diamond tricks and your crucifix. You're a star.
Oh my God, that riff. Top three riff rock three of riff, all time?
Rock soundtrack or otherwise?
Top two riff of all time. You heard it here first from the show writer.
Mark it down.
Put it in the books. I hit the phones for this episode. I knew that we had to get the other best of the best. The best in the biz and merchandising. The best in the biz putting a deck together, storyboarding a podcast episode. Mm-hmm. And that's Dale underscore A. Welcome back.
It's great to be back. We're here in person because this current filmography that we're in,
There's
no other way that we could have done it other than in person. I'm storyboarding ideas. I'm using Jonesy's walls. I'm using whiteboard. I'm using whatever it takes.
They're white walls. He's using spray paint that I can never get off.
Post-its.
I'm using post-its.
You're doing organizational think tanks, lightning rounds, post-it notes everywhere. Put down thoughts on a post-it, put on the wall.
I'm finding any free trial for some sort of storyboarding Google-based app that I can, where I can get 7 days out of it before I need to pay for it. And I'm just storyboarding.
And we're here to talk about the start of maybe one of the...
You can't look at him. You cannot look at him.
We're here to talk. Maybe. Just looking at me too, buddy. I don't know. I can't focus. Maybe. Maybe the greatest film action franchise out of the last 20 years.
Oh, easily.
Name five. You can't.
Can't do it. Chronicles of Riddick is not one of them, as per mention last
time. Fast and the Furious 9. 2-9, 2 Furious.
Hobbs and Shaw coming to a theater near you.
How about that trailer?
I
in front of the
it.
End game.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, you didn't get that trailer?
It came late.
Dale's hate for Idris Elba wasn't complete.
It is now. Is he like moment. Zipping around like Superman in that movie trailer? What's happening?
He's a genetically altered super soldier. He's the baddest mother ever on the planet.
That's a pretty good voice.
That's Idris's voice.
That's me as a
movie guy.
You know, the random British analyzed guy.
Mission Impossible. This is a big episode for us. Last month, we did Interview with the Podcast Vampire, Interview with a Vampire. And
hit episode numbers are through the roof.
I checked the spreadsheets. I had it export into a .csv through the roof.
Mm, my God.
I think if I think Tom might have gotten wind of maybe this, think he retweeted this show. It? I don't think he retweeted it.
You're thinking maybe he's doing fan art for the show?
He could. I can't believe we didn't mention that last month. Now this news is a month old, but there's an IG account that's doing fan art for this podcast, slowly making its way through the archives. It just hit endless love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, our feelings for that IG account?
Reciprocal.
Endless.
Oh, yeah.
Love.
Endless loving.
I mean, we're definitely pumping on a couch by our mother's watch.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, God, yeah. It's graphic.
The A cheeks of those kids. Pumping. In Endless Love, there's a scene where two literally children have nude sex while the mother watches from the staircase. And
in approval.
In a approval.
Just letting it happen.
Letting it happen, enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
That family was destroyed by the end of that movie. ways about it.
That's what happens.
Turned inside out.
Don't watch your kids pump on the couch. It's disgusting.
Remember how hippie that family was too? They had a party with those kids in their own home getting drunk.
Yeah, serving them alcohol.
Yeah.
Encouraging this behavior. I tell you what, my mom wouldn't let me pump on the couch.
Tom Cruise is that movie.
I can attest to that fact. It wasn't happening.
Your mom never watched you pump on the couch.
Chelsea couldn't even finish that sentence.
It wasn't happening.
A lot of editing in this episode. Mission Impossible 1. It's the first time I've watched it in a few months. And for whatever reason, I forgot everything about this movie almost. Like the plot, how he was getting out of the scheme. What happens in Mission Impossible 1, Jonesy? 1996.
Before, obviously the plot is majestic. But this is one of the movies, like, when I was younger and like in high school, you know, you had HBO. It was this movie and The Fugitive with Harrison Ford. And I will watch both of those movies like umpteen million times.
Yeah.
It was always like Saturday, 3 p.m. One of these two films was coming on.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've watched this movie so many times. And
Kittredge.
I love it no matter how many times I watch it. But the plot of the movie is Tom is Ethan Hunt. He is a disavowed IMF agent. He kind of gets caught in an internal mole hunt as the IMF, which is kind of like, as I understand it, a branch of the CIA. They have something called the knock list, which is something cover. Anyone knows what knock stands for? NOC?
It's like non-operative cover, I think.
Okay.
Something, or known, something weird.
No, known would be a K. But anyway, so... Ethan himself is a knock operating in Europe.
Non-official cover.
He gets disavowed. Mm. What's that?
Non-official cover.
Non-official cover. So he gets disavowed through a mole hunt. He decides he wants to find out who's behind it. So he partners up with Max, the mother of the Mission Impossible 6 character.
Mm-hmm.
Now callback. And basically, he arranges to steal the real knock list in the infamous hanging from the ceiling action piece, which still holds up. I don't care. Still holds up 20 years later. And then he finds out that he's been betrayed by the one he's trusted for all his career. And then he orchestrates, proves he's the real team leader when he kind of... clears his name and beats the bad guy. And what I love about this movie,
tell us,
by Fallout, Ethan Hunt he's like the Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
He is the best of the best. You know he's gonna beat the bad guy. He could do it all. He's Tom Cruise in his prime. This was Ethan Hunt as the unproven, up against the wall, caged animal, not yet the world's greatest spy. And I loved it. As much as I love Fallout, I love watching the impetus of him becoming
yeah. And you can even see it, him becoming that character in this movie when he uncovers that John Voight, who is amazing in this film.
Yeah. A vision.
When he uncovers John Voight is the mole. And he kind of like figures it out at a certain point where he sees a note in a book. But then he's having a conversation with John Voight, who presents himself as alive. He's like, oh, I'm still alive. The head of the IMF, CIA, or whatever, killed me.
Definitely not still betraying you.
Yeah, wink. And then Tom is like saying, oh, that makes so much sense. He did it. He did this, this, and this. But in his head, he sees John Voight doing it all.
Yeah.
And he doesn't tell John Voight that it's like, I know you did it, moron. Mm-hmm. I'm a genius. And that scene was so cool where he was just like walking through and let John Voight continue to think that Tom Cruise isn't smart enough to figure this out.
You know, it's funny because that scene tells so much about Ethan Hunt and the future of him. But that's the scene I wrestle with the most in terms of like editing and trying to get a mainstream audience
to figure that out,
what's happening,
right? Yeah.
Even when I was just watching it again, I remember watching it in theaters when it first came out, I was very confused during that movie, and that's because like I hadn't watched it enough to know Kittredge was not John Voight. And you know, like John Voight's like, it was Kittredge Ethan, and then but you're visually seeing John Voight do all the wrongdoing, and it's like, I don't know how you could do it.
Yeah, they could have had editing like, bay. You know, like make this visually from Tom Cruise's eyes or something.
So you kind of
could have done
it
a little bit differently. And that, I think that's a theme in this movie. So much happens in the first like 15 minutes that I was like, wait a minute. I looked away for 2 seconds. I got to rewind because they just explained something in depth that
You really have to pay attention. Because they don't really do a lot of like catching you up through casual conversation kind of thing. You just got to know everything about these characters and what they're doing. And you got to pick up on that immediately.
But I feel like by even the second movie, they've kind of ditched the psychology that was like kind of a main character in the first movie. Like MI1 is like almost a psychological thriller in a sense. It's still a big action movie, but him getting over John Voight and then putting it together in the climax, and then him doing another twist ending, which is him portraying John Voight and kind of tricking the bad guys. Like there's a little bit of a psychological element to it that I don't think existed in 2 through 6.
Yeah, I think
like,
you're
there
right.
There was no big twist in the following movies. It was all action.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Cruise is maybe one of the best action, practical action stars. Is he the only one left? Probably.
Yeah.
That believes in big, practically filmed, big set pieces. Like, they just don't do it like that anymore. So I'm happy this still exists, but I feel like Mission Impossible and then 2 through 6 are thematically different.
Yeah.
Different films.
I mean, there was still like some, I think psychological thriller still exists. Like even in 3, when, remember, it starts out with his fiance like murdered, quote.
Right.
And then you get back to that point. I mean, that's still messes him up. But the film, I love Brian De Palma as a director. He has so many great like long scenes, but in this movie, when it starts out where they're doing the mission and it goes bad, and then his boss calls him, he's like, meet me in this restaurant, and Tom thinks it's weird, like, you're here in this city, what are the chances of that?
You're already in Prague.
And he goes to the restaurant, and it's, you start to see how good of an agent he is. Mm-hmm. He recognizes everyone's face in the restaurant
as the other IMF team
from that night that he's seen, yeah, like sporadically
2 hours before.
And he's like, these are all agents, aren't they? And the camera angles, like to show his kind of like descent into like freak out mode, they're all at like weird up angles from like the ground. Oh my God, that scene was so good.
Yeah, follow me around the room.
Actually, that action set piece where he blows up the aquarium like front wall of this restaurant and he rides the wave out.
Yeah.
Still looked amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Oh yeah, that was him. It was amazing. Totally him doing that.
And that is such a hard thing to shoot. Like an exploding fish tank and make it look dangerous in every scene. They're like getting hit with water like it's the biggest GD tank that has exploded ever.
And he's running on water like Jesus as he comes out.
Unreal. Amazing. Yeah. The start of the movie with John Voight on the plane. That scene is like so slow and methodical. I just wanted to like slap John Voight around and like speed up. When he gets like the cassette tape that's a movie. Like what kind of like mini cassette movie tape is he playing? What is that format? I was so perturbed by that.
I love the callback though in the ending.
Yeah.
Where Tom's on the plane.
Oh yeah, definitely. I like how it's so cool. I like how it's just like not to skip, but he's just like back in it. Like Kittredge, whoever, is just like, okay, well,
you're reavowed.
You took two hours off to have that beer. You're back in the game whether you like it or not. So like the stewardess is just like, you know, perhaps something from the cinema of the Caymans or whatever.
The Caymans.
Yeah. But yeah, the I don't know if
what
that,
is that?
Format? That tape format is like proprietary American Airlines.
Maybe. Proprietary for Virgin Airlines.
Yeah. The mini
Pan Am.
The mini smoking tape. In the plane.
Yeah. So they go on their big mission. You see Tom for the first time. He's like pulling the team together, John Voight. And you see young Tom Cruise like making cracks about getting a better cappuccino machine. Emilio Estevez is there. And they're putting that squad together. And there's another thing that I chuckled at. So like one of their tools in this mission to uncover the knock list, which ended up being a fake scheme anyway, is these glasses that play a part in the storyline. So they leave the glasses in this one room and it's like streaming HD video.
Yeah.
What are the cassettes for? You have HD streaming video in these minuscule glasses. Like something doesn't work right correctly here. And that comes back another point where it's just like laughable, like inaccuracies. The famous scene that you referenced that still is amazing. And they have to break into like the CIA terminal that controls their entire network. And if it goes above 1 degree higher than it's what it's set at, an alarm goes off. If anything touches the floor, an alarm goes off. They don't have one camera in that room.
Right.
For a team of security agents to just look at for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, you're not
no cameras.
You're not paying a guy $9.50 an hour to sit.
Right.
This whole thing could have been avoided.
Just got good benefits.
You put one set of HD glasses in there, you'll see someone try to break in. The whole movie's over. Oh, I couldn't believe that.
And no one has ever revealed that plot hole to me to just now. And now I will never look at that movie the same way again.
That's true.
I mean, how much money did that room cost? They couldn't have thrown in an SD
camera.
That's
like a $2 million 1996 money room.
Yeah.
That's a billion.
$40
million
today.
That's
a billion dollars today.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. For inflation.
Oh, my God.
You just broke the whole movie for me. I'm not going to lie. I can't even think about this film anymore.
The camera angles I wrote down... The whole operation was fake to find a mole. So Tom is on the run after that scene. I'm going through my list. My next list is he makes his way back to the hideout that they had. Everyone's dead except for him, pretty much. And he's trying to figure out, okay, who was the deal with that this gig? I need to find out who the buyer was or the seller or whatever.
Oh, man.
So you get our first like foray, 1996, into the internet. Yeah,
into the internet.
And Google and internet searches.
Can you imagine just typing in job@314.com?
Yeah, so he's like just searching like, what do I search online? I know it's something about Job, 314, and Max.
Yeah.
He types in max.com as one of his first ideas. Oh my God.
This is how much we didn't know about the internet. At the time, I was probably like, oh my God, this man's a genius.
Yeah,
like,
all right.
He's on Bible Usenet.
Yeah, and what was his other search? Was like a job. He just typed in Job. Like,
right, Job.
Job. Nothing. Damn.
Job 314.
There's nothing on the internet.
When he looks at the Bible, he's like, Job 314?
Like, the internet's 20
still
pages
a genius.
But he eventually made it there. He hit like some kind of Usenet group, and he just sent a message to like a random username.
Yeah,
and all of them, hoping it would work. Unbelievable.
Job314@max.com.
Like they didn't even have like a .com. They were just like at 314, and somehow it hit. Oh boy, what a scene!
This is it's so interesting because you know you think Mission Impossible. If you think about the old TV show, it's like all these hip, you know. Technologies that like are a play on the technologies at the time, but Mission Impossible 1, the movie, is almost like the last of a generation where they didn't have cell phones in 96, but in Mission Impossible 2, which was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years later, like it took a while for 2 to get made, but
maybe 98.
I felt I
think there was a big gap in there, right?
But it was like,
I think I was out of high school when that movie came out. Like I was in college.
But even between that gap, like technology wise, it's so
such a leap different. Forward.
Yeah. Cause like there's, you know, little tiny Nokia 6120, you know, cell phones at that point. But in Mission Impossible 1, he's still got like the little disc. He's got to unscrew the payphone to like use it. But you know, so there's like, there's like that technology, but he's also using Usenet groups on the internet. So it's like this weird hybrid of what there was. And it's like a snapshot in time because after that, you know, technology, it's just like has ramped up significantly by Mission Impossible 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, yeah, it's a great story that kind of turns good guy, bad guy on its ear because, you know, Ethan's the bad guy until he can prove otherwise.
Right.
And for a majority of the movie, you know, the people he's working for is the bad guy. And he's got to figure out that, you know, what the twist is. And it's such a, I mean, it's, but you were talking about the psychological part of it. That's why I love all the movies, but I just love that they took a chance with this one. And obviously it seems like they learned from any mistakes they may have made and they went with a different formula for the subsequent movies. But I like that this movie exists and it's like super standalone because of the different vibe that it has.
Yeah, I think about all of them, I go back to this one the most.
Yeah.
But that being said, I love Rogue Nation. I love Fallout.
Don't they try to get the knock list in another one? Is it Rogue Nation or Ghost Protocol?
Oh, man. I think every
it's another movie, list of some
every
kind.
Movie should be subtitled Ghost Protocol. I mean, that was
I like how Jonesy just had to disengage from the conversation because he heard the phrase Ghost Protocol.
Every time I hear it, I get so
it's like a vampire was sucking his blood for that moment.
Oh, my God.
Looking back after
Interview
knowing
with the Vampire Ghost Protocol.
That John Voight was the mole. Like, it felt so obvious. Like, when Emilio Estevez is in the elevator and, like, dying, John Voight is, like, so emotionless.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm routing power now.
You're offline. I can't close the doors.
Yeah.
And then he's, like, he's dead. James was in the room as that elevator scene was coming, and I knew that Emilio's face was about to go through, like, a stake, so I, like, quickly moved his head at, like, that instant. I just barely avoided it.
The more I watch it, the more, like, it's a quarter of a second, but they show his face get impaled by those things.
Oh, it's very graphic.
It's Avengers Ghost Protocol.
Like, there's no, it's so quick, there's no blood, there's no reaction, but they show a face impalement. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's pretty
I
raunchy.
I saw that way too young.
I think I did,
that
too.
That affected me.
So they're on the run, he's on the run, and he gets Ving Rhames. You know, they start that beautiful friendship movie.
The last six feature films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how about him talking about all the computer technology that they needed to buy?
686 active intelligent laptops.
He says something along the lines of,
and I get to keep it when I'm done.
He almost says something that sounds like machine learning. Did you catch it in your
yeah,
viewing?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like intelligent thinking computer or something like something learning. And I was like, oh, that kind of sounds familiar.
Yeah.
That one isn't as dated just because it's just the stuff they said makes no sense to me. It could have been just made up.
686.
For as good as a movie it is, it's like, it sucks that like through the whole movie, like at least half of the team is corrupt the entire time. Like,
yeah.
Cause Claire and the assassin guy, the professional, whatever his name is.
Leon, how about Tom not questioning that Claire would get into a sleeping bag with him? What about 15 hours after her husband died?
Yeah. Well,
did they do it?
He says,
I think it's heavily implied.
I think
it
is implied that they did, but also looking back, she's obviously another mole.
No,
like the way she's like caressing Tom hours after her husband has died. She's like the worst agent in history. Like, slow down. Are you an idiot?
Yeah.
But he says at the end that he knew it as soon as he looked at the Bible and saw that it was at the hotel.
Mm.
So it must've been pretty early on.
So he was playing.
He had to, I guess, play along because he didn't want to tip his hand or whatever.
But how, like, such a great movie, but the most cringeworthy moments is when, like, John Voight is coming out as the bad guy, and he's like talking about how he's already tasted the goods of his
voice. Yeah,
like,
he said something really skeevy.
So skeevy.
Also, how can Tom knows, that's like Tom's mentor, and then he just turns into like this weird, oddball, evil man. Like Tom, like how did that not show at all, or you know, vice versa?
Right. And how much debt does he have to be in to take six human lives in one night? Like, mm-hmm. not counting all the other lives maybe he's taken.
Yeah.
Is that one of the lines that I'm in debt? That's why I did this?
No, but I'm just thinking, like, how much money is enough money to just do? And he mentions making $60,000 a year.
He mentions Kittredge, I think, making $60,000 a year.
So
that's a lot of money in 1996.
It is, but
that's
almost like a six-year salary.
Yeah, like
today.
What's that now with inflation?
Right, 85,000.
I don't know, maybe 80, 85.
Maybe,
but still,
so that's still a lot. I guess maybe not for CIA. Like,
yeah,
leadership.
like these guys are like, you know, superheroes with that. Not superheroes, but they're incredibly powerful people, and they're making like, you know, don't get into that evil game and work somewhere else for $60,000.
Should be paid a little bit more.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Just a little bit. The one thing I love, the reveal where he tricks the female I can't remember her name. John Voight's wife.
Claire.
He's like wearing the mask.
Oh, dead.
And then, he was like frothing when he said that.
His bottom lip.
Oh, dead.
He tricks her. He pulls the mask off. John Voight was in the room the whole time. Like, you just ruined that reveal.
Yeah.
Like, all the electricity of that. Like, yeah, you got him. Oh, no, John Voight was there the whole
time.
He's
right there hiding in the corner. He's hiding in a different corner than the silent John Voight. She's like, why aren't you talking? He's just sitting there staring at her like a marionette. Why aren't you saying something?
Ethan needs this aha moment, and then I'll step in. Let me let this play out organically.
Yeah. Some of the scenes, I love John Voight in this movie, but some of the scenes, he's like literally a zombie. Like, he's showing so little emotion and moving so slowly. Oh, it was amazing.
And I like the...
He probably worked on this movie for like 2 days.
Yeah.
Turns out the president's running the country without your permission. Son of a bitch, how dare he?
I was reading that when I was listening back to that scene. I was like, okay, this is his motivation, I guess, for turning evil.
Yeah, exactly. I like how the playfulness of Max, and like, I like that she's
great,
you know, like a powerful woman, and she's like, but she's really playful, and she doesn't really get in trouble because she's a bad guy, but she didn't really do anything wrong in this movie.
Yeah,
like she didn't get anybody killed in this movie. Like, that was John Voight's job. So. She doesn't really get in trouble at the end.
She's a dynamite character in this movie.
She was great. But
thinking back to Jonesy, when we first saw Fallout, or we didn't see it together, but like, I didn't realize that that character was the daughter until
you texted me.
Yeah. And seeing it happen in this movie and she gets off the hook, like, oh man, like it makes total sense that her daughter would be in that same role.
Pick up where she left off.
And not like an evil character and still kind of, because at the end of that movie, she like gets off scot-free.
Yeah.
And Fallout.
I think Ethan makes a deal for her at the end because she helped get, what's his face?
Mm-hmm.
The big bad guy.
Man, I got to watch Fallout again.
I'm thinking about, we should do a marathon rewatch of 1-6.
I'm thinking about,
spend some time.
Another great scene is when Leon the Professional has the disc. And
he does the sleight of hand magic.
Oh my god, amazing! And he does that on the fly because Leon had the real disc.
Yeah, he did have the real money. And then, like, you know, Ethan was panicking, like in the back of his head, he's like
pooping my pants.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta.
I would have thrown just like a glass at Leon's head and just tried to get the disc.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Tom's in this elaborate 5-minute
like fight him.
Yeah, like the psychosis scene.
This is a great moment. Back to Max is when they use the fake knock list and it's full of blood. And
oh,
they still put it in the drive and it wear the boots up. Mm-hmm. Like, that didn't happen.
How about them? Oh, that was also, he's like, if you power that diskette up, the cops will be here in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And the one guy's just like going outside looking. Like, how 2 seconds after they put the disc in, you think that the sirens are going to go off like right outside?
Right.
And as soon as he goes alert inside, everybody. They start coming in. That was a cool scene.
Also, I love the way that Kittredge said Barnes.
He was a great actor.
Don't be an idiot, Barnes.
Yeah, it was like, he kept saying Barnes so often. I was like, is Barnes a character from the series? Like,
he was. Oh, yeah, right.
He was maybe. Like, he was just chewing the scenery.
Yeah.
Get this guy to a post in Alaska, Barnes.
I thought Kittredge was great in this movie.
I thought he was, too.
I thought this should have launched that guy's career. He was amazing in this movie.
I could see him just being in more of the movies, like Barnes. The Alec Baldwin character or whatever.
Yeah. I think he was in the other ones, Kittredge.
No.
The voice sounds very familiar.
Barnes.
Because I think I'm not sure.
Morning, Mr. Phelps. How about the Tom Cruise bringing out yet another accent, the Celtic accent, when he screams red light, green light, and throws the gum against the helicopter? Like, all of a sudden, he's a Scotsman.
How about when he was his first scene where they had to, like, the original mission, he has to wear a mask and be a character. And before that, they show the person he's going to be imitating on the TV in an interview. And it's just Tom wearing the mask. I thought that was the so senator. Smart. Like, yeah, let's just put Tom in the mask as the real person. And then we can just look awesome while we're doing the impression and stuff.
He just looks exactly like that.
That was so smart to save money. I guess in the land of like no CGI, like, yeah, okay, let's just do the actual bit.
You imagine it was probably like 2 days worth of 3 a.m. trailer calls to get that makeup put on. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? But I love the makeup of him as a general with those sunken cheeks.
Mm. Oh, it reminded me beginning.
Of like a Frank Oz prosthetic. I enjoy that makeup.
Pretty get rid of that scum.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Did he kill? Like, did he just knock the guy out? Did he kill the guy?
I thought it just knocked him out.
That's what I thought too. But they.
I don't know. He has that. He has a license to kill.
He does, yeah.
I think that's Bond. I don't think that's...
I think the MI6 Impossible Mission Force has it, too.
Yeah, can we all agree that IMF... Thank God they never called the Impossible Mission Force this entire movie.
At least not in this one, but he did use the phrase to his wife, I think, right? In 3, doesn't he explain to her what the group is called? Or he explains it. He says the phrase to somebody in one of the movies.
Oh, I thought the first time I heard it with the movies when Baldwin was at like that congressional hearing. Like, oh, we need to close the IMF, this supposed impossible mission force. They play dress up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Ghost Protocol.
I am slightly like, I'm excited that they're doing two more with the same team, but I like hope they're not biting off more than they can chew. Like, let's slow down. Take as much time as you need for
Fallout
the next
was such
one.
A good movie. Like, no one expected that movie to be as good as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the sixth outing.
Yeah.
I mean, because wasn't there talk that Renner would take over?
Yeah.
Just like they try to do with Bourne. So Renner's going to take over.
Box office poison.
And Tom was like, I'm still good. So then then it's like, why did we spend so much time with Renner?
Renner's like, F me, right?
I guess. Yeah,
I just called Renner box office poison, but Endgame just made $2 billion
in
like a week.
Be on the lookout.
Is Hawkeye getting his own Disney series?
I think Disney Plus.
I'd be interested to watch that.
Brian De Palma. Snake Eyes, one of my other favorite De Palma movies.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
When are we doing the Brian Pod Palma podcast?
Brian De Palma.
What
was it? Didn't he do a movie with Antonio Banderas and who played Mystique? What's her name?
Rebecca Romaine.
Rebecca Romaine called Femme Fatale.
Oh my
do you remember that movie?
I never watched that movie. His movies always Brian De Palma?
Yeah, his movies always had some kind of like interesting, weird sexual stuff.
Did he do Atomic Blonde?
No. He infamously did, I think, Mission to Mars. But it had like such weird like filming problems that he wanted his name taken off of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just as interesting.
De Palma. Once we start up our De Palma podcast, we can talk about that.
Yeah. Brian De Palma.
We got so many irons in the fire.
many irons right now. What a show.
Great show.
Mission We're Impossible. Back. We're back. What's next? I didn't even look it up.
Oh, man. Someone go to the Gooks.
Didn't think we'd make it this far.
This is like... We're in finally the beginning of the beginning here.
Yeah. Tom Cruise filmography. Who's going to get there first?
Tom Cruise.
I love this moment in the podcast because it's all like we're discovering together.
Oh, here we go. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Tell
Jerry Maguire.
Holy moly.
I'll let you in her heart. It's a secret she has.
And after that, eyes wide shut.
Oh.
My God. After that, Magnolia.
After that, Mission Impossible 2, 2004 years in the making. Then followed by Slim's favorite Tom Cruise movie, Vanilla Sky. Followed by my favorite Tom Cruise movie, Minority Report. Followed by Dale's favorite Tom Cruise movie, Austin Powers in Goldmember.
Are we going to do that one with the cameo?
No, that's a great cameo.
But honestly, like, listen, I mean, that's an amazing lineup. Vanilla Sky, he did Minority Report. He did The Last Samurai. He did Collateral. What?
You
a run.
Me.
Unbelievable.
Here's one I've never seen. Lions for Lambs. Yeah, never saw that. Never saw Valkyrie.
Also, what's his face?
Robert Redford Terry in that movie.
God. Robert Redford, God bless. Night and Day. Remember that one?
That was a real clunker, wasn't it? The box office?
James Mangold. Logan director. Did that one, believe it or not.
Believe I think I remember that movie had bad marketing problems.
Or not. A lot of his movies around this era did. I think he ditched What's-Her-Face as his like partner. His sister, I think. Yeah, because that...
Remember, she is PR?
All these movies, or she was like in charge of like helping putting together marketing or something for his films. And this is around that era where like it started to get weird. I think he ditched her around Jack Reacher.
Because
remember the marketing for that movie was like an abomination. And
yeah,
I didn't want to watch
a big
it.
Movie. I think I saw that in theaters, Jack Reacher.
Gosh.
Are we like, trying to see all the Tom movies in theaters?
We're like halfway.
They're like cinematic what? Events. I think
already?
We are.
I don't know. It feels like we're getting...
Yeah, I think we are.
But we're getting modern. We got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
What a run.
4 a.m.
Great time.
6 a.m. right now.
6 a.m. Sun's
Dale's jetting back down to Apex, North Carolina.
He's getting on the private PK jet.
And his Tony Stark Civil War helicopter.
He's wearing the baggy pants.
Yeah.
Flipping his cell phone on a wall.
Can we get an analysis on this, Jarvis, Friday?
We'll see everybody next month.
Love you guys. Let's cut it. All right, here, stop recording.
Cut the line.
What was that? What was that? There's no kid awake right now.
Raccoon. Or it's Chucky.
Mark Hamill's a vision. All right. What if they want to do Child's Play 2 remake?
Yeah.
Is Mark Hamill going to do it again? Like,
I don't know.
Is this? I'm just wondering if this is a younger man's game.
You.
Then what was up there, Jonesy?
Tell me what I saw out of the corner of my eye. On your second floor and heard. We all heard that, right?
Yeah.
Gen Z just had to leave the
scene. Well, your crucifix, your star.
Oh, God. You know that only when they play that in concert, Bono grabs that camera that's been recording. And he brings it in. You know, like he did concert? Live in Boston when he brings it in and he like H's the camera.
Oh, God, yeah. Crowns. He's crowning.